welcome to another episode of the Op Nerd Podcast. Today, we are answering a question that someone lobbed at me the other day. Teach me about the Hop Nerd mindset. What does that look like for you? Help? I don't know. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at the Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 373 of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Welcome and thank you for being here. It always means an absolute ton that you come and spend a little bit of your day having this conversation where we're focused on just trying to figure some of it out and leave things just a little bit better than how we found them. Speaking of which, I want to open up today's episode with a little bit of a call to action, maybe something like that. If you've been cruising around the internets, hanging out in places that people like us, we tend to darken the doorstep of, places like LinkedIn, you know, stuff like that. Maybe you've noticed that it's gotten kind of nasty out there, and that's real sad to me. And what I mean by nasty isn't healthy discussion, healthy debate, healthy disagreement. That's not what I mean. If you've seen the kind of stuff that I've been seeing a lot lately, it sounds a lot like people calling each other names and kind of acting like not just kids, because my kid doesn't call people names, like mean kids. And where's the fun in that? And so much of what we're trying to do is leave things better than how we found them. Just a little bit. Just put a little bit of a positive dent, or maybe even just a positive scratch in this universe. Help each other a bunch and have a ton of fun while we're doing it. That doesn't come with a healthy dose of personal insults and calling people ugly and calling people fat. And it doesn't come with all that stuff, does it? I don't think so. In fact, I think that totally pulls away from what we're trying to do here. And if you're, in air quotes here, a professional out there in the world, I'm just not even going to put professional on there here. I'm going to devolve into a rant. You ready for it? Here we go. If you're out there thinking that you're a good person, and I'll get to this, I think that you probably are, but you're just being mean to people on the internet and hiding behind a keyboard and just, again, not having good conversations, not debating, not engaging, not saying, huh, tell me more about that. I don't think you're right. Let me explain. But you're like, yeah, you're fat. Or you got dropped on your head when you were a kid, huh? They're not called. Really? There's just no room for that, I guess, is where I'm trying to go towards. My buddy Ron Gant, PhD, Dr. Ron Gant. Hey, Dr. Ron. He had posted something about this on LinkedIn a while back, right before the weekend, and it left me kind of thinking, kind of as I was going into the weekend, and it really left me reflecting, as with any good conversation starter post, something like that tends to do, and I was thinking about it, right? I was thinking about it a little bit over the weekend, reflecting on kind of my experience with that, and others that I know really closely, their experience with that kind of stuff. I've been doing this for a minute now, y'all. And it's not nice, a lot of it, unfortunately. And please don't take that wrong. This is not griping. This is not complaining. I know the internet, et cetera. Again, we'll get to that in just a second. And some of this may be call to action. But it doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't. And on top of that, the vast majority of it's not like that. Most people aren't like that. But can we just cut the crap? Really? Like, is it really doing anybody any good to call each other mean names on the internet because I don't like the way you think about things? Well, I'm going to tell you, the fact that we all think different about things is kind of what makes this whole experience pretty freaking cool. Really? What happened to the old kind of adage of like, if we all thought the same, this place would be pretty boring? Did you forget that part? Did you forget that one? Like, you're fat because I don't like the way you think. Well, I don't think those two things are interconnected. And number two, maybe, just maybe, and maybe just hear me out on this one. Maybe get a little bit more creative in the names that you call people. Like, not only are you really, really bad at expressing your point of view, but you're really, really bad at being mean. Like, doubly bad. So, there you go, rant out of the way. Which, none of this is the point. None of this point is to rant about this. I was really reflecting about this idea around how the world can be a really unkind place, and in particular, how the internet can be an extremely unkind place, how it tends to be a bit of a magnifying glass into some of this stuff that's maybe already there, but seems to just encourage folks to maybe move towards it more in areas or places where they just wouldn't do that in our normal day-to-day interactions. It's this conversation that a lot of us, whether you're doing this just for funsies or you're doing this, you know, in a semi-professional or professional capacity, as some of us do, you're asking yourself that question that sounds like, how does somebody get to a place where they think that's okay? And I think there's a lot of reasons how people think that that's okay. But I think the unfortunate part is that if you've been sharing your thoughts anywhere on the internet, even around things that you know a lot about and that you're probably really passionate about, if you've not been thrown through that meat grinder, you've just not been doing it long enough. And again, that's pretty sad. If I'm talking about someplace like LinkedIn, it's extra sad because this is a place where I have personally had the opportunity to learn, to share, to help, to have fun, to do all of the above, and along the way, make lifelong friends that I would have never made otherwise. It's also the place that I've been called every single horrific name that you could think of in this particular moment. And when I'm called those names, beyond my first thought of, like, really? You couldn't come up with something a bit more creative than that? Yeah, okay, good job. Pat yourself on the back for that one. Really got me. Scold me harder, Daddy. You don't realize I like it. It always left me curious. It always leaves me curious as to how people find themselves on that side of a conversation. How good people find themselves on that side of a conversation. Yeah. And now I say good people because I've discovered along the way over these 7 or 8 years of doing this thing on the internet, part of it at least, that most of them are good people. And I've discovered this because I've decided to try to have conversations with them over those 7 or 8 years, not in comment sections, but on Zoom or in real life. You'd be surprised how small this world can be sometimes and who you bump into. Yeah, we forget that when we're starting to lob mean comments on the internet. Yeah. But I've got to have person-to-person conversations with them eventually, with a lot of them. And I've discovered that most of them would never, in their wildest dreams, ever beat down, bash, belittle, or degrade people in the real world. They're good people. They wouldn't do this. And they'll tell you, I wouldn't do this in the real world. It's just the internet, man. Calm down. But here's the big problem. The internet is the real world. As much as I like to say it's not, it is the real world. And on the other side of that screen is a person, a flesh and blood person with families and kids and dogs and house payments and problems and setbacks and frustrations and insecurities. And that's true for the person typing and the person reading, a flesh and blood person that has to carry the weight of those words. And while I'm not the best person to answer this question, why do normally decent, good humans turn into turtles on the internet? I can say that I often find that hurt people hurt people. Now, that doesn't make it okay. But meeting hurt with more hurt only creates more hurt. Meeting hate with more hate only makes more hate. And it reminds me of a quote of one of my heroes, one of my most amazing, iconic, favorite people on this planet, the incredible Daryl Davis. You cannot hate the hate out of a person. You cannot beat the hate out of a person, but you can love it out of a person. So a couple things, I guess, call to action here. When we see this stuff happening on the internets, yeah, when we see it out there, Should we call it out? Duh. Yeah, of course. Should we support those people that we see being personally attacked? Yeah, big yes. Should we block some of these people to protect our own peace of mind? Sure, absolutely. But I think that there's more that we can do. To lob another Daryl Davis quote at you, one that really goes beyond a couple of those things, brings this little bit more action to mind. It's this: how can you hate me when you don't even know me? Yeah. It's really hard to hate me if you get to know me. It is. It's real hard. Because you don't know me. You know the stuff you see on the internet, and you've made a bunch of assumptions, just like we all do. You're looking at how I think about certain things, and you're judging me because of that, because maybe it differs a little bit with your worldview, or you just don't like that because maybe it's, I don't know, a lot of good reasons. Insecurities, the ego, the scarcity mindset that exists, especially around some of this stuff, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And maybe you think that tearing people down is the way that you build yourself up or make you feel better about some of those things. Or I don't know. But what I do know is that it's really hard to hate me if you know me. So this is where we flip the script. Instead of putting up a wall, at least where we don't have to put up a wall, we can choose to open a door. We challenge those people to know us. We invite them to trade their judgment for conversation and hopefully curiosity. Will that invitation always be accepted? N-O-P-E. Nope. Will it work? Not always. But extending kindness, in my humble opinion, is never the wrong move. It's never the wrong answer. So there you go. A little bit of a podcast in a podcast, maybe. This is going to be like a Russian nesting doll, one of those little guys or gals or whatever they are, yeah, of maybe an episode. But I just felt the need over this past couple few weeks, whenever this thing comes out, to say that. When you see people out there just being mean for the fun of it, being cruel, lobbing personal insults, call it out. Support those folks that are going through that. Block them if you need to. But when they're doing it to you, maybe extend a hand of kindness, open the door to a conversation, because it's going to be real hard for them to hate you if they know you. Yeah, there you go. So a couple of things before we jump into, I guess, the main thing of today's episode. We are talking about the hop nerd mindset here in a minute. That's a funky way of saying how I think about things. Do me a favor, head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. All kinds of cool stuff over there for you, from downloadable videos to downloadable resources to learning about our services and all those different things that we offer around these here parts, the stuff that we can help you with out there in the real world doing your thing. But also check out Starting Points. Yeah, lots of organizations are using Starting Points, and a couple of reasons. The first one being, they work. Yeah. And I think the second one we should share is they don't suck. Yeah. You don't have to write a rule that says, hey, go use Starting Points. Because when you throw them in people's hands, they go, they work. And they don't suck. And they're kind of fun. And they let me have pretty, really interesting conversations as a leader and beyond. And my car, I just grab a card and then I go, hey, it's cool. Yeah, it's really cool. You have to look no farther than the internet to see. Yeah, you can see it out there. People are sharing about them, posting about them. They're using them. A lot of folks buy the original card decks. Yeah, you can find those over at thehopnerd.com/SP or just click on Starting Points at the top. But many, 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 many more are licensing Starting Points, either in co-branded stuff or white label stuff. Meaning that we co-brand with you. You get to throw your logo on there. We get to customize a bit. And there you go. You're off to the races. Printing your own card decks with your company's logo and ours. And sharing those in your organization. Now, a lot of folks just want it to say their company. And we work with folks like that, too. You can send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, to inquire about licensing. And, again, you can get all the card decks, multiple different languages, a couple different formats over at thehopner.com/SP. Now, last but not least, I've got to throw it in here. If you need a hand on your hop journey, ding, 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 I think I'm your person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, hit us here.
Ooh, yeah.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm wild. Yeah.
I'm your person. Yep. And
yeah.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. You just send me an email, thehopner@gmail.com. My calendar is always filling up. So if you need a hand, and especially if that hand is sooner than later, let me know sooner than later. Because the thing that I probably like the least about what I do for a living is having to tell people, no, I can't come help you because I'm already going to be somewhere else on that day. So from keynotes to workshops to advisement and consulting and ongoing kind of stuff and learning team facilitation and post-event learning reviews and where are we at on our hop journey kind of maturity stuff and everything else in between. Again, get in contact, thehopnerd@gmail.com or learn more at www.thehopnerd.com. Last but not least, I shared it with you a bit last week. But I have recently got over a pretty big problem in my life where you guys know I'm an occasional nicotine user. And the reason why I use these little nicotine pouch things, these tobacco-free things, is because it helped me break about a 20-plus year, 25-ish year addiction to smokeless tobacco. And I am not a doctor, and so I can't say that these things are safer than maybe that. But I think that just maybe, they probably are. So some years back, I started moving towards these things. And they really, they're the only thing that ever really, really helped me there. And if you've been a listener for more than a second, you know that I've struggled with some of that stuff, of finding the ones that I like. And in particular, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. So a lot of the ways I do this is I like to order them. And so then I can order them and they would be here and I could just have them. And I didn't have to go like bebopping all over town to try to run these things down. And then for some reason that stopped. Got real hard to get those. And so I was always exploring like other options. And then finally, I came across this one called ALP, A-L-P. And I like these. They're way better. They're the best one that I've ever had. The reason why I share all this with you is that we have an affiliation a bit now with ALP, and it's a great way to support the show if you already use things, these kind of things. If you don't use these things, don't start them. Pro tip number one, the best way to not have to quit is to never start, of course. Yeah, sure. But if you do find yourself in that position like I was, of going, God, I got to get rid of Skoll, Wintergreen, Fine Cut. I got to get rid of this. I got to get this out of my life. What's a good way to do that? These. If you're looking for something like this, only if you're already in the market for something like this. And again, you want to show a little bit of love to the podcast, you can go over to alppouch.com/thehopnerd. That's ALPpouch.com/the HOP nerd. With all of the fun stuff, the call to action, all those things out of the way, let's jump into today's episode. Well, I was having a really great conversation with somebody the other day. We were catching up. We were having coffee. We were doing all the fun things. And this person is a hop leader within a particular organization. And just a great, great chat about kind of where everything's at and kind of where everything's going and kind of what they're dealing with in their organization and just all the good stuff. You know, just catching up with a friend that does something similar. And, you know, they asked a question kind of around hop mindset. And in particular, as an individual practitioner with human and organizational performance. Now, this person is a leader and somebody that's been doing this for a long time. I mean, they could teach any one of us some really interesting things about being a hop practitioner and the thinking around how you approach particular things. But they were focusing on growing their team. Yeah, some folks that were not brand new to this, but newer to some of this stuff. And that's kind of where this really interesting starting point. Oh, like the way that we weaved that right in there, huh? Where this really interesting question kind of came up. And so that kind of left me thinking, more than kind of. It certainly left me thinking about how I tend to approach things. What are those kind of few key ingredients? Not that you should copy and paste those, but a few key things that tend to help me be successful now and back when, way back when, it seems like nowadays, of doing this stuff internal to organizations when I was that hop practitioner, that hop leader, that safety/hop/HPI/CAP/ insert whatever else they thought that maybe had time to do. in one of those kind of roles. What helped me be successful? What does my mindset look like? Well, here it is. And this is where I pretty much always start with my thinking around work and around how that works and how we fit into that. It just, this is a very broad bullet point on our list, but I think that it's a really important one. I find myself in awe of the amazing work that takes place within our organizations and in awe of the people that do it. I think you have to start right there. If I'm thinking about how I think about things, that's the bedrock of it. I am genuinely in awe of work, of the cool things that people do, the amazing products that we come up with and create, the amazing things we do, whether it be generating electricity, whether it be making that thing or that gadget or that pharmaceutical or that really tasty beverage or insert anything here, building that building and on and on and on. I find myself in constant awe. It's that kind of moment when you walk up to that big something, whatever it may be, and you go, my God, we did this, meaning people. We figured this out. We make this thing work. We took nothing, practically nothing, and turned it into this something. How cool? How cool is that? Genuine awe and amazement. Not only of the amazing things that we do within our work worlds, not only of the badass things that we do within our work worlds, but the badasses making those things happen, the badasses doing it. Yeah, genuine awe and amazement. And it's really rooted in this idea that that's what we as people want to do. Like, we don't show up to work to do a bad job. Yeah, we don't show up to work to hurt people, to break things. We show up to work to be successful, each and every one of us. I would take that a step farther and say that people show up to work to do their best work. People show up to work to do badass things, to make a difference, to put a dent in the world. Whatever that work may be, people show up to work to do their best work. That is where my mindset is ultimately rooted. And from that awe and amazement grows this immense amount of respect and curiosity around the people that are doing those things. I think it has to start there, because if you start with this mindset of like, yeah, this is just old hat. It's not amazing that we spin that thing at like a bazillion miles an hour and, you know, it's connected to a generator, and who in the hell thought of that? Who cares? You know, blah, I don't really give a damn. I'm just happy I have air conditioning. Yeah, you can't start there. And you certainly can't start with this idea of like, oh, anybody can do that. This isn't all that interesting. I mean, my God, like, it's just, you know, you're just keeping this piece of equipment that's 150 years old running with no steady supply of parts or stream of parts, and with no manual, because that died 50 years into that 150 year history of this piece of equipment. So, I mean, you're just like handcrafting parts that don't exist anywhere on the planet to keep this thing going. I mean, how, it's just old hat. Really? You have to start right there. At least that's where I start. Because again, from this genuine awe and amazement grows this massive amount of respect for people doing that work, whatever that work may be. It grows this immense amount of curiosity around how they do that. It grows just this desire to seek to know more from their view about what it is that they do, this great work that they do each and every day or night. That leads me into this other idea of being operationally curious, like extremely operationally curious. You can see how that would naturally grow into that. I want to know more. I think it's insanely cool what you do here. Teach me more about that thing. How would you not want to know more about something when you approach it with that mindset? And again, I don't care what it is. I tell people all the time that I just like to nerd out about work, not really pop or safety or, you know, my history's been in power generation and T&D and construction, and I could stick to those things because those are infinitely, infinitely amazing just on their own. But just to nerd out about work, the work that people do and how they're normally successful with it, how they do such badass things consistently. Teach me about that. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the scary. Starting with that awe and amazement, grows into that curiosity. That curiosity grows into this pursuit. I can't even say of understanding, but maybe of just finding out a little bit more than I knew before about that particular thing. Which leads me maybe to another kind of bullet point here. And I'm just rattling these off just as they come to me. So please don't hate me for not doing proper notes and putting these in proper bullet points and then reading it to you like I am a robot, because that's what some other safety podcasts sound. Oh, shoot. Let me go back. They sound like that. No hate. Whatever floats your boat. A thing that I share with folks a lot of times, and I share this with leaders, and it was something that came up in this conversation, especially around growing certain hot practitioners. Some of us, not all of us, but some of us struggle with this thing where we tend to get in our own way with being curious. I share this with leaders a bunch because that becomes much easier to shoot ourselves in the foot with curiosity after bad things happen. So in particular, around these conversations about responding, yeah, around those kind of conversations. But this conversation was around hot practitioners and just great folks out there doing really good work, but how they sometimes struggle, not with curiosity, but with maybe building a bit of street cred right out of the gate. And what I tend to see happen here, especially for us dudes out there, we like to be dudes, we like to be bros, we like to do those bro-y duty kind of things. Yeah. When I walk into something, even if I've never done it before, I want to be like, hey, I know that thing. Yeah, I used to work on one of those things back in, back in when. Not exactly like that, but it was kind of like that. That's a fan, right? Y'all, I've got a fan in my bedroom. I know about fans. I'm trying to grow, like, some respect. I'm trying to show you know, that I'm like, I know some things. Like, I'm not useless. I'm useful. I know some things. The problem with that is when we walk in kind of doing that, we're putting up this wall around our curiosity. We don't realize that. We think that we're earning street cred that way, but that's not quite how you earn it. Not in this world. We move towards the people that actually do the thing. And I might know that that's a fan, but I don't have a flipping clue about how that thing works in this process. And instead of going, I know what fans are. Huh, look at me. I see, bro, I'm smart bro duty kind of dude. Yeah, we're dudes and bros and stuff. Yeah, see, like, I know fans. Oh. Instead of trying to grow street cred that way, I encourage folks all the time, pre and post event, to use this general rule of thumb, and it's something that I tend to move towards, and it's easier, again, with those other things that we've talked about. But when things go wrong, or maybe you're like, I know how this process works, it gets a little harder, because I've done this process 40 years ago, so it's exactly how it's happening today. I know, because if it's not, then these people are just doing it wrong. especially if you struggle in those situations. Always focus with those interactions on making your first words curious words. What I mean by that is, instead of walking up and scanning the room for anything that you know the most about, so you can then cling to that and then show that you're competent, then show that you belong to be here asking them interesting questions, that you deserve their respect and some street cred because you know what a chair is or a fan is or a button does. Yeah, those kind of things. Instead of scanning that room, looking for that thing that you know the most about, so then you can then flex your I know about this muscle, maybe start with the thing you know the least about and ask an interesting question. Or maybe assume that you know nothing about this particular thing and move towards those, can you teach me, can you show me, can you walk me through this? For me, it usually sounds like, huh, this thing is cool. Teach me about how this thing works. I haven't the first clue. I just know that it's cool. Walk me through this. Yeah, those kind of words. Same thing post-event, right? The how did it make sense question, because it totally did. Those kind of moving towards curious words. The reason why we tend to, and I tend to, move towards curious words first is because they set the tone for the rest of the conversation. We're not having a conversation about what I know. We're not having a conversation about what I think. Because once I tell you that I think I know stuff, the conversation tends to stay in that lane for its entirety. We're not starting there. We're starting with, I don't know, actually. I'm being a bit vulnerable. And I'm moving from knower of things mode and authority mode into curious learner mode. And just by the nature of starting with curiosity, you're being elevated into the teacher role. You show me how this thing's work. I don't know. I don't run this thing every day. Walk me through it. This is super cool. I don't know. I just want to know how it goes from that to that. It started out as this piece of like block of plastic, and now it's turned into that. How does that happen? That's insanely cool. You know, you have the coolest job on the freaking planet. Teach me about your job. That. Talk about a hoot, an absolute hoot of a conversation. That's how you have one. So make your first words curious words pre and post event. I use that absolutely all the time. Now, another one that I spend time focusing on, and this one is hard for everybody, myself included. I treat information as information. To expand on that a bit, I don't label things as good or bad. It just is. As long as it's accurate. That's all I care about. As long as it's real deal. As long as it's truth. Like, I don't think about information as good or bad. We put those labels on things, usually after things go wrong, as that was a bad thing, or this was good information, that was bad information. And back to things that get in our way. Those labels come with a pretty strong emotional burden, right, associated with this. A good example of this is the question that we like to kick around in our organizations, especially after things go wrong. A question that sounds like, were we lucky or were we good? Were we lucky or were we good? Or were we lucky or are we good? You know the question. Yeah, you know it. Now, we like to think that lucky is bad and good is, you guessed it, it's good. But that's not really all that true. They're just answers. And they're actually, in this context, the same answer because the outcome was fine. They're just two different paths that you go down. If we were lucky, how do we turn that into good? And if we were good, that's great and all, but how do we make sure that it stays good? Again, it's not good or bad. It's just information. We like to treat stuff like it's good or bad, and it's not usually. It's just information. This one's hard because we really, really, really like to move towards the emotional side of that. It's hard for me, and it's hard for you, and it's hard for people because we are emotional creatures. I like to go towards this idea that, man, we were lucky, and that's a bad thing. I will take lucky every single freaking day of the week, but I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to try my damnedest to turn that lucky into good. So the idea here around mindset is just to strip some of the emotion outside of that information and just view it as information. That information is just information. It's not good or bad. It's just information to help us learn and improve, to help us make better decisions. To help us innovate, to help us do all of those things over time. When we start to add that emotion to it, we start to derail ourselves because it's bad and now we're going to get frustrated and now we're going to get upset. And that's good. So there's definitely nothing to learn from good, because now I'm just happy. I'm patting myself on the back because we were good instead of lucky, and nothing to see here. Avoid that. That's a big thing. That's a big thing with the mindset thing that at least me personally in this Looney Tunes head here that I tend to focus on. But it has helped me well throughout my career, again, both internal and external. Now, the other thing here that I do, and this is probably where I'll start to wrap it up because I'm just winging it. Let me tell you a little bit about this. Are you looking for a handy dandy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy kind of way to get conversations flowing around operational reality within your organization? These conversations around work is done versus work is imagined, pain points, problems, even best practices, the good stuff, the great stuff. Well, Starting Points is exactly what you're looking for. Starting Points, the original operationally curious card deck packed full of a ton of learning focused, operationally curious icebreaker questions to get those conversations flowing, helping your organization to effectively learn, improve, and innovate. Head over to thehopnerd.com/SP to download our free sample deck, to purchase the original card decks and learning journals, or to inquire about licensing options so that you can customize Starting Points with your brand, your logo, and your questions for your specific organization's needs. Again, that's thehopnerd.com/SP. Back to the show.
I extend more grace than I think
that I should extend. I try my best. And again, all of these things are try your bests, right? I think that's probably where we should have started, because we're all going to get these things extremely wrong. Sometimes you're going to get them so wrong that you figure out how to get them right. And you just try your best and get better at them over time. But I extend grace even where probably shouldn't extend grace, or I wouldn't have in the past, is maybe the way to think about that. I heard this on one of those like Dave Ramsey clips a long time ago, and I'd used this in a very similar way in the past of basically just thinking around this idea of just give people the benefit of the doubt. Just start there. And so when I heard Dave Ramsey say it this way, I found it to be the better way to say it, as we tend to discover throughout our lives. He had this person on one of those call-in things, and this person was basically saying, like, my employee, you know, they're dealing with medical problems, and I just can't keep doing this anymore. I've been bending over backwards to make do and accommodate for them. They've got to be out of work, and Lord God, he was seeking permission to fire this person, right, just to get rid of them, because he was going through it. He was frustrated with the situation. And Dave's answer back to him was in the form of a question. It's like, when you get done with all this, when you get done with all this stuff, do you want to be remembered as the leader that gave too little grace, or the leader that gave probably too much? And it left this person maybe a little stunned, a little silent. And he responded more along the lines that Dave did, again, to the silence of, do you want to be a leader that went above and beyond for your fellow human and gave them that benefit of the doubt, that grace? Where, yeah, you could probably be justified, and people would probably, at least in that particular moment, maybe go, yeah, okay, yeah, I don't really like that. That probably wasn't super fair, but it wasn't completely unfair either. Or would you want to be the person, rather than that person that bent over backwards for them, do you want to be the person that just said, no, I'm done with you, just see you later? I don't know. I think for me, I would want to fall into that I gave more grace than I probably should have. I'm known for giving more grace than I should have. I would want to be that person that gives people the benefit of the doubt, that understands that people are inherently good and they're trying their best, and we're all just trying to figure some of this out. And the best way to do that, and the funnest way to do that, is to do all of that together as much as possible, helping each other and supporting each other as much as possible to a fault. I think that's the right place to be. I think that's the right place to be in our personal relationships and our work relationships. We get so bent up around the axle with this idea, especially at work, like people are going to pull stuff over on us and they're going to take advantage. But that's not what people normally do. Most people don't do that. Right. So are you working for the rule or the exception? Are people going to pull the wool over our eyes time to time when we're given a bit too much? Sure, but mostly not. Which side of that equation would you want to fall onto, a little too, a bit too little, or a bit too much? I think a bit too much is the answer. This grows not only into those interactions that I was just sharing with you, like with Dave, but, you know, into when things go wrong, that mindset that people are inherently good, that people are trying their best, that they're figuring it out, that things make sense until they suddenly don't make sense anymore. And all the kind of stuff that we talk about here, it influences the way that we think about those things, that instead of going shamey, shamey, bad for you, bad person, crap person, should be a better person because good people don't get hurt, we're saying, well, actually, like, this can happen to anybody, and I'm here for you, and I'm here to support you. And even if it seems wacky or weird on the surface, we're going to learn about this together and improve this thing together, and we're going to support each other through this. I'm going to extend that grace to you, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Because I know that the odds are way in our favor with this gamble. If you think of it as a gamble, this is the winning gamble. It's the winning bet, because the odds are going to tell you that person is not a shithead, that they're not really trying to mess up or do things wrong or cause this or cause that. It's none of that. They're just trying to be successful. People show up to work to do great work, to do their best work. Yeah, there we go. Kind of starting to loosely tie it all back in together, this rambly mess of stuff. But there you go. There's some things. We had a really long and weavy conversation around this question, some of which I shared with you today. I think those are, as I was reflecting on that, as I was having some soak time, some post-learning soak time, pause, reflection, think time, whatever you want to call it, after this conversation. Those were some of the things that were kind of rattling around in my head after having this conversation, a really interesting conversation. I mean, there's probably like a whole bunch more that we could just talk about the way that we try to approach life, relationships, work, love. No, probably not love. I might throw this one in a little bit as a bonus. And I've shared this with you, and it's something that I learned a long time ago from an old crusty safety person who was a mentor, that when I first got into this, my first like boots on the ground day in like a real safety role ever. And I'm like amped up like green as new grass, ready to go out there and kick butt, take names, change the world. You know, the place where we all fall into on our first day, usually, especially back then before we knew much better. Like, where's my baton? Where's my gun? Like that. Like that kind of thing. Like, I'm here to change the world and fix these wrongdoers, you know, that kind of stuff. Daryl, the safety man, school of thought. The task that I had for basically that entire first week was to go around and talk to people with one rule and one rule only, that I wasn't allowed to talk about safety stuff. And really, the rule extended into work stuff. I was only allowed to go around and get to know people. Like, tell me about you. What's your name? You got kids? Like, super awkward conversation at first. But it's something that I've carried with me and has definitely influenced my approach and my mindset around just about everything else. Just like curious words as first words, I almost always apply personal words as first words too. That kind of thing where it's like, who are you? Teach me about you. Like, what have you got going on? You seem like a cool person, like kids, family, like walk me through that. How was your weekend? And I don't mean just in generic small talk terms. I mean, being genuinely curious about who they are as a person and that their life. Again, I think that starts us off on the right foot to grow relationships. It's the focus on the relationship first, relationships being more important than work. A lot of things being more important than work, if we want to start to put things into priority list here, which we're not, but relationships being one of the main things in our life, growing that and doing that first and doing it meaningfully, not faking it, because you can't fake it, because people smell all this stuff out. If you're faking any of the stuff that we just talked about, you're not sincere about any of this stuff, they will smell it out. There's the funny thing that happens in the universe is that you can be pretty much anything that you want to be, even horrifically bad things that you want to be. And most people will kind of go, whatever. Yeah, you probably do deserve to go to jail for being that. But whatever. Just get off my back. But the universe will sniff out a fake in a second. Some people survive that a little bit longer than others, but the universe will find you. And when it does, it's usually real, 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 real bad. It gets real, real judge and condemning and those kind of things at that point. So maybe that's where we end with all this, is you got to mean everything that we talked about. And some of this, you probably just go, well, that's crap, I'm not using that. But hopefully, just hopefully, as with any of these episodes, I hope you found one or two little kernels of things in there, little nuggies, little gold nuggets that maybe you can take. And it'll help you a little bit. That's the entire point of this podcast and everything that we do around here, is trying to be just a little bit helpful to you out there trying to do this stuff in real life, in the real world, in your organizations. Again, if you need a hand with that, I'm happy to help. I'm glad to help. It is my passion to help you with these kind of things. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. It's easy peasy lemon squeezy. You send me an email, we make it happen. It's just like that. If you want to head over to the website, TheHopNerd.com, and you want to schedule some time to talk about how we can help you, or you say, hey, I've got this thing coming up and I want to talk to you, just click book an initial consult. What that fancy button does is it allows you to self-schedule some time on my calendar, and we can have a conversation about how we can help, what you're looking for, what you need, and there we go. We'll throw it on the calendar. We'll make it happen that way. Speaking of helping in other ways, there are a ton of resources over on the website. Any of the funny, wacky videos, and maybe some of the ones that aren't so funny or wacky, you can download all of those over under the resources page. I was trying to say tab and page, and then I mixed them together. I couldn't decide which direction I was going to go. That would be a tab page, under the resources page. And you could just click over there on that little button on the side, you know, where you usually click from like more info or something like that. And you can just click download, take it, use it, put it to good use. That's the only rule, is to do good with it. And if you get a chance to shout us out for making a video, that helps us an absolute ton. Like, share, subscribe, do all that stuff where you can do all that stuff. And until next time, I am Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Ow, and don't forget to check out startingpoints.com/SP. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast and the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.